I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Yesterday, I neglected to talk about how my weekend went. And I got to tell you, it was an amazing weekend. And the reason why it was so amazing was it should have been the way I celebrated the 4th of July, but I didn't. It was just hard to kind of put into words how I felt over the weekend with something that happened. Over the weekend, we have some dear friends of ours. They had a barbecue out in the country. They have a nice, beautiful home in the country. And they invited some friends and, I guess, loved ones and acquaintances over and my crew. It was a special occasion because of the fact that our friend's father, a veteran and a POW, died at 95. And so we gathered at their house to pay our respects. He was 98? He was 98. I thought it was 95. Okay, so he was 98. And he died, and he was a POW veteran. And so we gathered to pay our respects by flying his retired flag in a ceremony that was very touching and patriotic. I braved the sun for it. I stood out in the sun, and I held my hand over my heart, and I listened to taps. I listened to God Bless America. It was such a moving, moving thing. It was amazing. So usually Janine's there, but she had some things she had to do. She wasn't feeling well. But my crew and Janine and Liam, sometimes we go out to visit our friends in the country because, well, they're good people, obviously. They've been friends with us for a long time. But they really know how to host a party. I mean, my producers all agree that Angel does a great job with food and barbecue, and Russ does a great job too, and they all are great people, right? And so we're hanging out with some cool people at this bash, this patriotic bash that we were at over the weekend. One of the things that's really cool about their house, and they know this, they know that we love this, they have a movie theater in their home, okay? And, I mean, it's a literal movie theater with chairs and big screen and, you know, popcorn and milk duds and all that stuff in the area where you can sit down and watch a big movie. And so every time we come over, we always try to decide what we're going to be watching. So what do you want to watch? What do you want to watch? And what I do is I actually offer my passwords to them for streaming services so they can watch, you know, major movies like on Netflix and Disney. And I mean, we went there one time and just watched the whole Mandalorian just all the way through on the big screen. It was awesome. So anyway, so we sit there, we talk about movies we want to watch while we're, you know, eating our hamburgers, eating our corn and drinking our banana daiquiris. But anyway, so we're sitting there and we're discussing movies. And while we all settled on watching Hamilton, well, I kind of pushed everybody into Hamilton, but Hamilton, we did some discussion about some of the movies we thought were cheesy science fiction. And I started bringing up cheesy B-movies from the 1950s, because that's how I think. And I thought, well, that'd be cool, but we'll watch some cheesy B-movies on the big screen. And someone piped up and said, you don't have to go back that far for some cheesy science fiction. And so he brought up that one film. He said, what's that one film where they tried to save themselves from a disastrous flood by building arcs? And everybody in unison said, 2012. Yeah, the film, 2012, the film. Well, John Cusack was in it, okay? And Woody Harrelson was in it. He played that weird dude. He was also a weird kind of conspiracy theory type guy, you know, camped out at Yellowstone waiting for the caldera to blow, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, 2012, cheesy horror film. I mean, everybody, you know, the minute you speak about that, everybody's going, yeah, we know what that is. We know what the film's about. It was about the end of the world and how the Mayans said on, you know, December 21st, 2012, we're all going to basically kick it. So, but you give a film a date as a title, right? It's a novelty. And then, of course, it's also an expiration date because after 2012, you know, nothing happens. You're kind of like going, well, that was a kind of silly film. We call it 2012. The world ends and we're still here, right? So, but then again, you know, V for Vendetta was set in 2020 and so was Blade Runner. So, I mean, here we have the year 2020 and there aren't any replicants, but V for Vendetta is pretty damn close, I'd say. And even, you know, the hero wears a mask, so go figure. This is kind of some bizarre predictive programming. But as much as 2012 is concerned, you know, the film, believe it or not, back when you look back at it, you realize, oh, that film is just a bunch of nonsense, you know, because we were all worried about the end of the world in 2011. And there were a lot of people that were on late night talk shows talking about the end of the world, and others were saying this is how it's going to happen. Well, there's one scene in the film 2012 where this generic scientist, this expert, is wearing a lab coat, and he says, the neutrinos coming from the sun have mutated. And back then, you know, what the hell does that mean, right? The neutrinos coming from the sun have mutated. It's just a laughable line. It's kind of nonsensical. But, you know, they always throw those lines out there to make it look all scientifically plausible, right? You know, they just, you know, Star Trek does that, but they try to be as scientific as possible. Star Wars has done that. Of course, they're not even caring about science at all. It's just science fantasy. But whenever you're doing a science fiction film, you got to be as close to scientifically plausible as possible. Otherwise, critics are going to rip you to shreds. Well, you know, back then, nobody knew about neutrinos coming from the sun mutating or what have you. But, you know, back then, though, that goofy throwaway line was actually there, not because of its scientific accuracy. It was there to indicate that anomalies that happen on the planet, strange anomalies that are unexplainable, that would be considered unthinkable. That all could happen before the eschaton takes place. What's the eschaton? The eschaton is the end of the world. It's the apocalypse. The idea that so many whacked out strange things could go down before the end of the world takes place. And you're sitting there and you're witnessing it and you're thinking, whoa, this doesn't happen all the time. What am I in the middle of? Now, I'm not about to convince you or convince anyone that neutrinos mutate. But we have talked about Antarctica, and it's been the focus of some anomalous activity, if you remember. A lot of things that cannot be explained. There were, of course, relay areas that were being put in Antarctica because they wanted to transmit information to the moon, and the Chinese military had this set up in Patagonia, Argentina, that they were basically monitoring their rover on the moon. Well, there are other things going on there. We know of the great meeting of the Pope and John Kerry and the Russian Orthodox priest and people like Buzz Aldrin and others going down to Antarctica, and everybody's wondering if there was some alien species down there they were looking at. But, you know, there's a lot to that. Not necessarily everything you hear is correct, but there's some things that indicate that there are a number of remarkable things happening at the bottom of the planet. I mean, we know of the ANITA, which is the Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, where they sent this giant balloon to basically haul some electronic antennas high into the cold, dry air above Antarctica. And then there was, the reason why they do that is because there's no radio noise to distort the findings. So they want everything to be pure. And there's this constant wind of high energy particles. It's a kind of electromagnetic wind coming from outer space. And there, some of which are a million times more powerful than anything we can generate ourselves, right? And so these low-energy particles, they're called neutrinos, are passing completely through the Earth, barely interacting with the substance of our planet at all. But higher-energy objects are stopped by reassuringly solid matter of this planet, and that means that the high-energy particles can only be detected coming down from outer space. To detect a heavier particle, a down neutrino coming up out of the Earth would imply that these particles are actually traveling backwards in time. In other words, a whirlwind of particles, energy particles that usually come down from space, a vortex that comes down from space, is actually going back up as if it were going backwards in time. So NASA, of course, made the announcement. Now they're downplaying all of it. People saying, well, maybe that's a sign that something's going back in time, that we have some sort of a wormhole forming. Well, what could be happening is that we're seeing a magnetic anomaly that's being formed here, and that the Earth is generated, or something is generating. It's some, perhaps, I don't know, I'm not going to go far as saying aliens are doing it, but think about it. Perhaps the beginning of a time expanse that is similar to an Einstein-Rosen bridge is more simplistically seen as a wormhole, a conduit, maybe something that's opening up that would be a passageway for these ultra-terrestrial beings to move through, or gods, or something. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but when you hear about the magnetic field changing. It always makes me wonder if there is activity happening that either indicates a pole shift or that perhaps the Earth is forming, I don't know, a gateway or a stargate that will either open up, and we'll see the ultra-terrestrial travelers of gods moving through, or that we're seeing what can only be compared to a cancer forming in the magnetic field and moving throughout the planet. Imagine it. A whirlwind of particles so big moving up the planet. And what would it do to us when it passes over? 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. And we'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you've just listened to a segment of Ground Zero. In order to access the complete archive shows and podcasts, you must sign up on our secured server at aftermath.media. It's only $4.99 a month for the archive shows and podcasts. Or if you want access to the Ground Zero online library, which includes videos, audio clips, ebooks, documents, a social media platform, plus the archive shows and podcasts, it's $9.99 a month. Again, that's aftermath.media. That's aftermath.media. Thanks for supporting Ground Zero.